Welcome back to the show. Ted Ramey with you on this Friday afternoon. And stay tuned, because coming up in just a moment, we are going to be giving away three pairs of tickets to the Breastfest Beer Festival happening tomorrow from noon to 4 at the Fairground Island Marin Center in San Rafael. But right now we are joined by the Greek god of hops, Jason Petros of the Brewing Network. Mr. Petros, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Ted. I'm, you know, every time you say my new nickname, it always gets me.
Well, we have to credit producer James Kincaid for the nickname. He did come up with it. It is very, very good, and I think it suits you well. No one's ever called you that before.
No. But you know, in honor of James, I'm going to get it tattooed on my forearm. It'll be amazing.
I agree. I do think it will be amazing, and we will require photographic proof and a maybe you can Periscope the tattoo session. How about that?
Sure. Well, my word should be good enough. Let's leave it there.
Fair enough. I'm curious, since I just mentioned Periscope, do any brewers like ever brew in real time? Is that like a thing on social media, or do they just not deal with that BS?
I don't think a lot of brewers like social media, to be honest. I mean, it takes a certain angle of like mental, you know, illness to be absorbed in social media for, you know, hours upon hours that it takes to actually curate and do a successful social media account. You know, brewers, I think, are a little more relaxed than that. You know, they just want to make beer and hang out.
I can't really complain with that. I guess since so many things are tweeted and Periscoped and Instagrammed, it just wouldn't surprise me if there was somebody out there that was going to say, hey, let me Periscope you through my entire session. But I don't know. That would take a while.
That would take a while. And ultimately, the brewing process is really dull. There's nothing really exciting about it. I mean, you know, if you've been on a brewery tour, you see kind of one brewery, you've pretty much seen them all. So, you know, maybe, you know, they'll put out like some sort of video about the brewing process just once. But, you know, it's basically just watching a bunch of people do the same exact thing over and over again every day.
Well,
it's not that exciting.
That being said, Jason, wouldn't you agree, though, that most people who do brew, whether it's their first time or their, you know, 1,000th time, that most enjoy the process, however dull it may be?
Yes, it is enjoyable on a home level. On a commercial level, I think people like it. But, you know, when you're brewing, batches of beer from breweries that kind of have a staple and don't really, you know, vary off that, like a Stone, for example, and you got a shift brewer at Stone who's like, oh, brewing more IPA today.
Yeah.
I think it can get a little dull. But definitely the home guys have the advantage on that score.
You know, it's interesting because you bring up that idea of the major breweries, and I had a buddy who worked for a major brewery in San Diego, and he actually got tired of the social aspect of it, that people always wanted to talk to him about the beer industry. Do people in the industry ever get burnt out on that, or most people in it because they love it so much and they're okay with the questions that people ask?
You get burnt out, for sure. I get burnt out every once in a while, too, and it's the nature of the beast, especially when you get get into groups of people, like you go to National Homebrewers Conference or whatever, and you sit down at the bar, you've been working the booth or working the crowd or doing shows or whatever, and you sit down and you have that one listener or that one fan or that one homebrewer who wants to pick your brain, and it's like 11:30 at night. The last thing you want to do is talk about beer, and you're like, you're drinking a gin and tonic or something just because you've had so much beer, and it's like, oh my God, can't we just get away from beer for a second? Like, that's not really all that we have to talk about. But but for the most part, you know, if you don't like talking about it, you're in the wrong industry, because everyone thinks it's cool. Everyone's going to have a bunch of questions, and most of the time the questions will be pretty much the same, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it seems also like the heartbeat of the industry is word of mouth.
Absolutely, yeah, word of mouth. Social media helps that. Going back to social media for a bit, social media is very important in a brewery's lifespan, mm-hmm. I think. But yeah, it's word of mouth and guerrilla marketing kind of a thing. Definitely the lifeblood of a small craft brewery.
Yeah, and it is. I do, you know, follow a lot of the breweries that I enjoy on Twitter or on Facebook or on Instagram, because I like to see what they're doing. They keep you aware of events, and you know, we're spoiled here in the Bay Area. There's so many incredible breweries all around us, and the one that you emailed it to me right after I had seen it kind of pop up on my timeline was the note from Firestone Walker. Now obviously they are a massively consumed product here in the Bay Area. And according to this news release they put out, 80% of their beer that they make is consumed here in California. But they are now partnering up with Duvel Mortgat, a family. Am I pronouncing that right, by the way?
I think so. That's right. Unless they're listening and want to call up and correct you,
yeah,
I'd say run with it.
By all means, because they're saying that they're trying to, in their 20 years, that they've had a lot of growth, and they are now trying to maintain, as they say, the founding traits while serving a growing demand. So, I mean, this seemed to spark a lot of response. I don't know if it's been negative or positive, but what is the response to this move and the partnering up of these two operations? How is this viewed?
Well, I think it's kind of split, really. Some people are a little shy to say, you know, anything negative because it is Firestone. They're well-respected, and it's not like AB InBev or Miller Coors bought them. You know, it's a small, privately-owned, family-owned brewery in Belgium. And again, I mean, the details aren't disclosed, so we don't know necessarily if they were purchased outright. David Walker is saying that they're partnering with Duvel, because they need capital to expand. I mean, the rumors I think are becoming more and more true every day that they're going to open that plant in San Jose.
Yeah.
You need cash for stuff like that, and so Duvel already owns Boulevard Beer. I think they're in Kansas or something, and Brewery Omegang in New York. So you could see those Firestone staples being brewed at other places to be distributed across the country, much like Lagunitas have done, where they opened a Chicago brewery to distribute to the East Coast.
Yeah, and I'm curious then, why would people, I mean, don't they understand that that is kind of the, I mean, no, I understand we have this romanticism about, you know, being, you know, making your, you know, your passion into your living. But at some point, if that's really good and the people are into it, expansion is a no-brainer, right? Like, or is that viewed as like, you've sold out? I mean, is it like indie music when they get their big record label?
A little bit. I think it's, this pill's a little easier to swallow because, you know, Duvel isn't necessarily huge. But they're, you know, like I said, they're not a giant like AB InBev, but when you get down to it, I don't really care. To me, it doesn't matter, who owns the brewery. I really don't care. As long as the beer doesn't change. And I think that's the key, because so many craft beer fans have seen that change with, like, when Goose Island got purchased, some of their beer lineups weren't the same anymore. And that's always kind of the fear. So why does it matter? I don't know. Like you said, there's the romanticism. Mm-hmm. People want to think that, you throw buzzwords around like handcrafted or artisan. Nothing about beer is handcrafted. You're not boiling it with your hands. You know, you're pushing buttons and you're moving stuff with your hands. That's any job in any industry ever. I could say that my house was handcrafted. It doesn't mean anything. it's just another word to sell beer. So, once you get over that kind of stuff, it doesn't matter who owns it. As long as the beer is consistent and still tastes good, I'll drink it.
Yeah, now we're talking with Jason Petros right now, the Brewing Network, here on the Ring Central Guest Line. I saw this article, and I forwarded it to you, about, it's Nielsen talking about craft and local being powerful trends in the beer aisle. And they were talking, they had a stat that kind of surprised me. They said that in terms of sales, this is what the article says. They say you'd be hard-pressed to find a bigger standout in the beer category than craft. They said, for starter, higher-end price products such as craft are driving most of the growth across the overall beer market. But the total beer category growth has been paltry. In fact, volume for the whole category grew just 0.6% for the 52-week period ending June 20th, 2015. They said, comparatively, however, volume of the craft beer for the same period was 10.2%. So, I mean, is so much of the beer's expanding industry right now? I didn't realize that much of it was dependent on how successful craft is right now.
Yeah, absolutely. The remaining beer drinkers that there are turning to craft. But if I heard that right, overall beer consumption has not grown as much as the craft segment has.
Yeah, I would just think that overall beer would have increased more than 0.6 of its overall market share. Because, I mean, all I